in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in the U.S. city of Columbus, Ohio, where the 2020 Major League Soccer champion will be crowned Saturday night. The Columbus Crew will host the defending champion Seattle Sounders in the MLS Cup final. The Crew are seeking their second MLS Cup, and they'll have home field advantage, but they're facing a Sounders squad that's in the final for the fourth time in 5 years and looking to win back-to-back championships. We'll hear now from the head coaches of both teams, Brian Schmetzer of Seattle and Caleb Porter of Columbus. Schmetzer watched his team pull off a remarkable comeback in its last match, a 3-2 victory against Minnesota United. Trailing 2-0, Seattle scored 3 goals in the final 15 minutes to advance to the MLS Cup championship game. Coach Schmetzer says he'll make some minor tactical changes on Saturday, but his team's basic personality remains the same.
Our style of play is not going to alter dramatically for this contest. We always try and impose our will on our opponents. Sometimes we make slight adjustments because they have a talented player, you know, two talented players in holding midfield spots that make the game for them. Obviously, Zelarayan is a tremendous player. Jazzy Zardes is a different striker than Lud was for Minnesota. So look, there's small little adjustments, but we're not going to change who we are. I mean, it's way too late in the year to change what we do. So we're just going to sharpen everybody up, try and give them the right tools, the right messaging, the right video so they can study their opponent. And then again, the team that's going to make the most plays on Saturday is the team that's going to win.
Brian Schmetzer was born and grew up in the northwest U.S. city of Seattle, Washington, where the Sounders are based. His father, Walter, played soccer in the German third division before immigrating to the USA in 1962. His coaching counterpart for Columbus, Caleb Porter, was also born in the northwest U.S. state of Washington. Schmetzer was asked about the significance of having two American coaches in the MLS Cup final.
Well, it's kind of funny. I mean, there's good coaches all over the world. I mean, there's good coaches in South America, North America, Canada, Europe, Germany, Brazil. And there's over in Asia. I mean, it's great that there are Americans here that grew up playing soccer, and we continue that tradition of having Americans involved in our sport. But it's also, you know, if guys come here and they have good success and they're foreign coaches, that's fine. I mean, you could call Zig a little bit of a foreign coach. Came to this country very young. My parents came here. I was a child of an immigrant family, and that's just part of, you know, who this country, what this country is. I mean, geography doesn't dictate whether you're a good coach or not.
Meanwhile, Caleb Porter was named head coach of the Columbus Crew in January 2019. He replaced Greg Berhalter, who left to become head coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team. Now, more than 9 months ago, back in early March, Coach Porter guided the Crew to a 1-1 draw against host Seattle in a regular season match. Major League Soccer then took a break of more than 4 months because of the coronavirus pandemic. Coach Porter says while that game seems like a long time ago, the Crew can still learn some lessons from it.
I think anytime you can draw on an experience of playing a team, it doesn't matter if it's early or late or even last year to some extent, if it benefits you. You know, there's some games you'd prefer to just forget about. You're not bringing those up too much to your players, but when you play a a very good team like Seattle, the past champions. I think this is their fourth final in 5 years. And you can say, listen, we went there, guys, early in the year, which we're a much better team now than we were then. But we went there early in the year and we matched them on the road, and it took a penalty kick for them to score and tie. I think that helps. You know, it helps because on paper, when you see what they've done, you know, you compare us to them on paper, you know, they're for sure the favorites. But, you know, games aren't played on paper, fortunately. And I like my team's chances. I like the group we have. I think we've got a talented team, just like they do. We defend well. We attack well. We're balanced. I think that's our edge. You know, we're a team. We're balanced on both sides of the ball. We're very confident right now. And we do have some match winners. We have some guys that can change a game like they do. You know, I think it's no coincidence what they've done, Seattle Sounders. When you look at their roster, look at their talent, and look at their locker room, look at their coach, you know, look at Garth Lagerwey. There's no coincidence why they've done as well as they've done. So it's going to be a really exciting game. I told the guys I wouldn't want it any different. If we're going to win a championship on our home field, I want to do it against the best team. And certainly the Seattle Sounders are the best team, hopefully, next to us.
That's Caleb Porter, the head coach of the Columbus Crew. Columbus will host the defending champion Seattle Sounders Saturday night in Major League Soccer's title match, the MLS Cup Final.
Dear respected friends, sports critics, this is Milutin Mijo-Sedovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. In South African club football, Bloemfontein Celtic will play Orlando Pirates Saturday in the MTN 8 final. For a preview, Iron Mike Mbonye called Johannesburg, where he reached African football analyst Clyde Tu.
Now, let's talk about the MTN 8 final, Bloemfontein Celtic versus Orlando Pirates. It's an interesting game on paper. Orlando Pirates have won it, but as they say, the game is won on that green surface. And when you talk about it, Orlando Pirates go into this game with a cup pedigree, while Celtic come with the hunger, the zeal, and the youth exuberance. They have a very young team with a young coach in John Maduka, and who has done a great job coming from the bubble when the league was completing after that COVID-19 break. So Celtic have been the form team, and I think they are carrying on the form. They lost the Nedbank Cup final to Sundowns. Now they are in another cup final, and this time against Orlando Pirates, which will not be an easy opposition. Remember, Orlando Pirates are former African champions, and Celtic are one of the biggest clubs in the country. I'm not just talking about the years, but also the fan base and their history. They are very rich. So that's a brilliant cup final that one can ever ask for. And now you look at the key players. You look at Ndumiso Mabena for Bloemfontein. Celtic is the captain. He played for Orlando Pirates, and he always brings his A game, or should I say A-plus, when he's playing teams, the big teams, Orlando Pirates being one of them. And Celtic, I think them having eliminated the league champions, Sundowns, going to the final, it shows the team, the caliber of the team that they have. They fear nothing, man. Each time I watch them, all I can think of is Johan Cruyff's eyes. I think they are very hungry. They're very passionate at the football they play. The fans, unfortunately, the fans won't get to watch this game at the stadium, but the game will be on TV, definitely. So it will be a very interesting game for Orlando Pirates, who's their key player. I can think of Thembi Nkosi Lorch. There's also Vincent Pule. Those are key players for Orlando Pirates. And there's also Tyson Tlachoy. I think throughout the years, Orlando Pirates, them losing cup finals, their weakest link has always been the defense and the goalkeeping area, or should I say, the defensive part of the team. And they've brought in the Ghana international goalkeeper, Ofori, who will be in goal, definitely, I'm sure. And the Bafana captain playing in front of him, that's Thulani Hlatshwayo, who's now captaining Orlando Pirates. So I think Orlando Pirates in the transfer market, they went and bought very well. They actually fixed that Achilles heel. So going to this final, it's not going to be easy, but I can assure you that there'll be nothing but goals and more goals.
The final match of the MTN 8 will be the 46th edition of the competition. Has it lived up to expectations since inception?
Has the MTN 8 lived to expectations? I think the slogan says Wafa Wafa, which simply or loosely translates to if you die, you die. That's it. There is no second chance. It's all or nothing. So I think in terms of cup finals, I think all cup finals have lived to that slogan over the years. Teams are going there, all are going in it with the aim for all or nothing. So this cup final, I think there is no holding back. Anyone that decides to hold back might decide to go forward when it's too late. But yeah, I think over the years, the cup finals have lived up to expectations. And this season, if you would ever ask for any cup final, I think if you take out Sundowns, who are the league champions, I think Orlando Pirates and Bloemfontein Celtic are the two most deserving teams to be in that final. And the reason I say this is because Bloemfontein Celtic have been the form team. Orlando Pirates have signed some good quality players, and over the past seasons they've lost a number of cup games, not because they were a bad team, but because of their defensive frailties, and I think they've fixed that. Now it will be interesting to see how they go about that. We'll forget the season when they lost the cup finals to Platinum Stars, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I may stand to be corrected, I think Dumiso Mabena at the time was playing for either Orlando Pirates or Platinum Stars, so this will be another crucial game for him to make a name for himself. He recently got a final call up, but unfortunately he had to pull out due to injury, and I think this is the moment for him to have his name written in the stars. So this cup final, as the 46th edition, I think we are going to be treated to nothing but the best of local football. And besides, if you take a look at the head-to-head stats between Orlando Pirates and Celtic, you'll notice that this is a game that often produces goals, so you can expect nothing but goals, probably four. So someone might lose 3-1, or it could just be a straight up 4-0. So this is a fixture that produces a lot of goals, and we can expect nothing less than that.
How will you rate the MTN 8 competition and netback tournament for teams in the lower division in South Africa?
Talking about MTN 8 versus the Nedbank Cup, I think these are two separate competitions, different in the format that they take. Someone has suggested that perhaps, just like England does with the League Cup, where they involve the lower divisions, maybe we should also involve the lower divisions in the MTN 8. But I think this is a top 8 competition. It's for the league's best 8 teams, which probably raises the level a bit higher than that of the Nedbank Cup, because now you have top 8 quality opposition. So these are top flight teams. So I think in terms of the two tournaments, format is different, but in terms of entertainment, they offer just about the same. And MTN 8 this time, I think it will be interesting to see how the final goes. The last Nedbank Cup final was a hot one between Sundowns and Celtic, and this time Celtic versus Orlando Pirates in the MTN 8. So it will be interesting to see if Celtic will be happy to lose us in a space of a few months.
That's African football analyst Clyde Tu. And Clyde spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Sporty greetings. This is Clyde Tu, an African football analyst. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bob, D.C.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat.
whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
In African athletics, one of our big stories this week and this year was Kenya's Kibiwot Kandy setting a new half marathon world record in Valencia, Spain. Kandy clocked 57 minutes and 32 seconds, a time that is pending ratification by World Athletics. Kandy's record run came one day after World Athletics held its annual awards ceremony. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2020, let's listen in again to this feature report by the energetic Andy Edwards. Sporty greetings, Andy!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. What a time it is for road running, with world records broken apparently at will by the leading men and women, and the discussion about controversial shoes worn in those races continuing to ferment. In the Valencia half marathon on Sunday, Kibiwot Kandy of Kenya carved almost half a minute off the men's world record, previously held by his compatriot Jeffrey Kamworor. Kandy, who was silver medalist in the World Half Marathon Championships in October, ran 57 minutes 32 to beat Uganda's Jacob Kiplimo by 5 seconds. Kiplimo, a training partner of Joshua Cheptegei, this year's number one record breaker on the track, had beaten Kandy to the world title in Poland, but this time the tables were turned. Four men finished inside the old world record, with Kenya's Ronex Kipruto and Alexander Mutiso third and fourth. Now, once again, the topic of the new design in shoes with a raised heel has come under sharp focus, with World Athletics announcing new regulations soon after the Valencia races. This debate will continue, but the fact remains that Kibiwot Kandy is the new world record holder for the half marathon.
I'm very grateful that I've won the race and I now hold the world record for half marathon under 58. And it's my lucky that I prepared well for this race. For the last 7 weeks, I was very in touch on my training and I was focusing for this race. And actually, I have gained the victory and I say I'm very grateful.
Ethiopia's Genzebe Dibaba, one of the renowned Dibaba sisters and a former track star, ran the fastest ever women's debut for the half marathon, 65 minutes 18, to win that title. The results in the full marathon were also mightily impressive, with Perez Chepchichea chopping more than 6 minutes off her best to win the women's title in 2 hours 17 minutes and 16, the fifth fastest performance ever. Her compatriot, Evans Chebet, won the men's title for Kenya in the fastest time of a highly unusual year, 2 hours and 3 minutes exactly, and this was worth seventh place on the world all-time list. In contrast to events in Valencia on Sunday, there were Africans in contention for the World Athletics Annual Awards the day before, but none came away with prizes. Joshua Cheptegei, with his two long-distance world records this year, both set in Valencia, and Perez Chepchichea, as winner of the women's world half-marathon title, were in the running, but lost out to Sweden's daredevil pole vaulter, Mondo Duplantis, and the Venezuelan triple jumper, Yulimar Royas, respectively. Royas, who broke the world indoor record this year, was interviewed in Spanish from her home in Venezuela, while Duplantis was speaking from his regular U.S. training base in Louisiana. But the world record pole vaulter relished the idea of one day taking his event to Africa.
If a competition were to come up and the opportunity is there, then I would definitely be cool jumping in Africa.
Duplantis has been a fresh, bright light in the athletics firmament over the past couple of years. He turned 21 last month and knows he has much room for improvement.
There's always ways to improve everything in your jump. I mean, I can definitely get faster, I can get stronger, and mentally there's always just ways to improve. I think there's a lot of things in my jump that I can improve upon. I mean, it's a little game of centimeters that I'm playing now. So as long as I could just keep getting just centimeters better, then, you know, that's good improvement right there.
With the award press conference taking place along what has become the accustomed online format, the discussion inevitably turned to 2021 and what could be a delayed Olympic season if the Games in Tokyo go ahead. As with any elite performer, Mondo Duplantis has turned his eyes on the pinnacle of his sport.
It's where you want to be your best. So going into next year, that's where I want to be in my best shape. I want to save my best performance for there and try to go in there and, you know, try to be on top of the podium. So, I mean, pretty much all focus now is towards the Olympics this upcoming year. And, it's a bummer that it couldn't happen this year, but, you know, I'm not going to sit here and complain. A lot of worse things happen to other people.
With high-quality vaulters as rivals, Mondo Duplantis looks capable of sending the world record well beyond the 6.18 meters currently in his possession. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. Ugandan runner Joshua Cheptegei feels he deserved the Male Athlete of the Year award over Mondo Duplantis. And Cheptegei hints at racism in the voting process.
Really a great team that I was not able to be named the World Athlete of the Year. Even after last year, I was so sure that I would be the World Athlete of the Year. I had won the World Cross Country, won the Diamond League, won the World Championship. And now this year being a very difficult year where I broke 3 world records, it's a shame that the World Athletics were not able to consider that. And maybe I will have to change my colors. Maybe if I was a white, I would have won it.
That's Ugandan athlete Joshua Cheptegei.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. This evening, we continue our preview of Saturday's World Heavyweight title fight in London between the champion, Anthony Joshua, and the challenger, Kubrat Pulev. Joshua is putting his world titles on the line after a layoff of more than a year. His last fight was on December 7th, 2019, when he reclaimed the title belts with a 12-round unanimous decision against American Andy Ruiz in Saudi Arabia. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with more on the Joshua Pulev heavyweight matchup. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. It's been 2 years since British world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua fought in front of his home crowd. He enters his upcoming bout against his opponent Kubrat Pulev as the clear favorite. And on Thursday, Joshua told reporters with 3 world titles on the line, he's ready to go the distance.
I know Kubrat Pulev for many years. I was in the training camp when his brother was sparring Warren Baysta. I was in Vladimir Klitschko's camp when he was preparing for Kubrat Pulev. So I understand some of the tactics that needs to go into beating Pulev. And I'm prepared for it to go to the final bell. Of course, I feel like I'm a 15-round fighter. I'm not a 12-round fighter. I'm a 15-round fighter. So if it needs to go to 12 rounds, I'll be more than capable to carry my stamina, to carry my boxing IQ, my concentration, and my strength until the final bell.
For heavyweight boxer Khubat Prulev, it's been a long wait in his challenge for the title. Saturday's match was originally scheduled to take place in June, but was pushed back due to the coronavirus pandemic. But Prulev was also set to fight Joshua 3 years ago and was forced to pull out after he suffered a shoulder injury. At 39, Prulev is 8 years older than the heavyweight champion, but he says age will not be a factor in his upcoming match because longevity makes him a better fighter.
I'm healthy and yeah, I'm not 22 years old. I don't have time, of course, but I'm ready. I'm here. I'm happy that this fight stay now, because in this pandemic all the world, it's not easy, but fight stay and I'm here and I'm ready for fight. I'm ready for win.
Pulev's promoter Bob Arum also spoke ahead of Saturday's match and said the Bulgarian challenger is ready to seize his second shot at the heavyweight title.
Went into very, very serious training in Bulgaria. He is in the best condition of his career. And frankly, I look for him not only to beat Anthony Joshua, but to knock him out. Pulev is a big, rugged Bulgarian, and I really feel that Joshua is vulnerable and that Pulev will not only beat him, but knock him out.
Pulev has lost only one of his 29 professional fights. Anthony Joshua has also lost just one fight, and with a career record of 23 wins, he's looking to add another victory under his belt.
No disrespect to the fans coming in, but I've got a serious job that I need to complete, and then I'll, God willing, confident I'll enjoy the victory after.
Those fans will be limited to just 1,000 due to the pandemic, but their excitement is sure to be enough to fill London's Wembley Arena when Anthony Joshua and Khubat Prulev go toe-to-toe for the heavyweight title on Saturday. And our thanks to Matchroom Boxing for the audio in this report. And that is all from me for today and for the week. More sporty news to come. Sonny, back over to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Khubat Prulev says when he trades punches with Anthony Joshua on Saturday, he'll also be fighting for the Bulgarian people.
This fight for me is not only for me, only just fight. It's not only just boxing. This fight is for all Bulgarian boxing sport, boxing, because nobody wasn't the heavyweight champion of the world. That's why it will be for me really, really good. And for my country, for my people, Bulgarian people, Bulgarian fans will be really, he will be really, really happy.
And here are a few fun facts about Khubat Prulev, who odds makers have made the underdog on Saturday. The Bulgarian is nicknamed Kobrata, or the Cobra. The Cobra has a younger brother, Tervel, who also is a professional boxer. Now, when Tervel was in London 8 years ago, he won a bronze medal in the heavyweight division at the Olympics. The Prulev brothers, Khubat and Tervel, were both named after medieval Bulgarian rulers. Taking a quick look at the upcoming December boxing schedule, Gennady Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez, who have fought each other twice previously, will be in action on consecutive nights. Golovkin will defend his IBF middleweight title against Polish fighter Kamil Zaremeta on Friday, December 18th, near Miami, Florida. And then on Saturday, December 19th, Canelo will defend his WBA super middleweight title against British boxer Callum Smith in San Antonio, Texas. And that wraps up the December 11th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.